Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, here we go with a Tuesday program. So glad to have you with us. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. You can catch the replay most days here on the Big X at 3 p.m. And, of course, if you miss all that completely, we're available as a podcast on Apple Podcast and also the SoundCloud platform as well. So basically what I'm telling you is there's no excuse if you're an IU fan in the area, a fan of Southern Indiana sports. We talk all of that. No excuse to miss us. We can come to you live. We can come to you at 3 o'clock. We can come to you at your convenience at any time as a podcast on Apple Podcast or SoundCloud. No matter how you're listening, we're glad you're with us today. A lot to get to, of course. Still a little surprised, at least I am, about John Beilein and his decision to head to the NBA. A little disappointed for the college game. We'll continue to talk about that with some of our guests, but plenty of to get to from an IU perspective and a local perspective as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have our Hoosier headlines, our IU and Southern Indiana sports news of the day, and a number of things to get to, a couple recruiting things. Trendon Watford, who I think IU is another long shot for, is set his decision date. We now know when he'll make his decision. We'll talk about that. Another scholarship offer went out over the weekend or after the weekend by IU basketball. We'll talk about that. And a little more on John Beilein leaving. Also, I know IU baseball has been red hot lately and, of course, getting ready for their game with Louisville coming up. But Gabe Bierman had a big outing for the Hoosiers over the weekend. I mentioned that yesterday, and he's been honored with the Big Ten Freshman of the Week Award. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in this first segment as well, and some other things also. So stay with us. Later in the show, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us, presented by Coffee Crossing. I'm really curious what Greg makes of John Beilein leaving Michigan. Also, we'll talk some NBA draft, and we'll talk about the Combine, which I forgot all about yesterday. It starts later this week in Chicago. There will be some activities going on, and we don't yet know exactly what Romeo Langford's going to do in the Combine. Will he do any of the on-court games? Probably not. Will he do any of the skill stuff and the agility testing? Who knows? And will he go through interviews with teams and with his agent? And I would fully expect that. It's, I guess, as much of a networking event, if I understand it correctly, as it is anything else. So, and, of course, with him bouncing back from his injury, we really don't know if he can even play at a full strength or a reasonable strength right now. And even if he could, based on his shooting woes this past season, sometime you are advised by agents, and others have even said this on this program, it's best to just stay out. You know, you didn't shoot it well, but you've got a great excuse in your pocket with a hand injury or a hand that I'm sure will still be wrapped up this weekend. So I think we'll find out more. I've said we talked about this last week. I think that more information is coming soon on Romeo. And I also think we'll get a very clear look at Romeo and his maybe most accurate draft status. Even if he doesn't do anything on the court this weekend, when these guys that we trust that do this every year have an opportunity to be at the Combine, not only watching but seeing what goes on and talking with others behind the scenes and NBA personnel, then they can really go to work, I think, and have a lot of accurate stuff to put their big board or their draft, their mock draft together. And then that obviously will update as things go on, as the gossip goes on, as workouts are scheduled, and things of those sorts. In fact, we've already seen some players, I think mainly players that were not invited to the Combine. I don't know if I've seen anyone
anything about a workout for a player that is expected to be at the combine yet. But, you know, Juwan Morgan has had a couple workouts with NBA teams. That stuff will pick up as well after the combine, even for some of the guys that are at that event as well. So plenty to get to with that. We'll cover that with Greg also. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Peaks.com is with us. Of course, we'll talk recruiting. And the 2019 class is kind of becoming puzzling with two scholarship offers. It's kind of the question of the hour for IU basketball. If they miss on Trendon Watford, and we think they will, I mean, it would be, it's. I don't know if it's as big of a long shot as Lester Quinones was, who obviously went on to pick Memphis Friday, but if they miss on Trendon Watford, I really don't know who else is there unless the staff has made contact with a player or two that we're not aware of, or unless there's some activity on the graduate transfer market, although it's getting kind of late for that. I mean, there are still guys available, but it's also, as you've heard before on this show, not the easiest deal at Indiana to get a graduate transfer into a graduate program. So with that said, that's kind of the question of the hour, of the day, maybe even the month for IU basketball is, what are they going to do to fill these two scholarship offers? Do you bump up a walk-on to a scholarship player? I don't know that makes any difference or helps the team in practice or obviously in games at all. Do you add some players somewhat randomly that you think maybe were under-recruited but could help? Where do you turn? It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So we'll talk some about that with Mike Pegram. Nike EYBL was in Indianapolis over the weekend. We didn't get to that yesterday, but there were obviously some big performances. Even though college coaches are not in the building, with the way social media is nowadays, the number of recruiting services out there that basically act as eyes for their subscribers and for college coaches, not too hard to find out within reason what went on. Obviously, you can't necessarily break things down in a very particular situation, but you can get pretty good overview of what happened and who played well and who did what. And so we even saw Indiana offer a scholarship and others as well this weekend, even though it wasn't a live period after some of the big performances. So we'll talk about that also as well with Mike when he is with us. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham, again, in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The decision day is set. D-Day is set for Trendon Watford, who, again, is, I think, one of the last remaining 2019 prospects on the board for Indiana that we're at least aware of. And in today's age, you're basically aware if a school is looking into somebody, you know, especially as it gets out on social media. But according to Josh Bean of the newspaper in Alabama, 2019 five-star forward Trendon Watford will make his college decision Monday, May 20th. So a week from yesterday, it'll be a public ceremony that will take place at his high school, which is in Mountain Brook, Alabama. And that is where things stand. Obviously, LSU is by the national guys that do the picking, the guessing, the crystal ball picks. He is a heavy favorite to go to LSU despite all of the problems that popped up in the season with Coach Wade, him having to step away and then now rejoining the program, which is a little surprising. I thought maybe when there were some problems, even with Wade returning after a meeting or two with the school and also some NCAA representatives, that, hey, you know, that it's a little dicey. You know, is this for sure? Is he going to stick around permanently? The college basketball trial was swirling around in the background. Would he want to stay and go through some of that? Obviously, according to the guys that talk to him and know most, they still think that LSU, or now at least LSU, is back in the driver's seat. You kind of saw Indiana pick up some steam there for a while with Watford, but I think more so if you look back at the calendar, it kind of came at the time right when Wade stepped away or after he stepped away, and there were some more rumblings about perhaps wrongdoings there that really haven't materialized into anything. And now that he's rejoined, the school has allowed him to rejoin the team as the head coach. Obviously, they must know something that makes them sure it's the right thing to do to add him back into the fray there as the head coach permanently for at least the time being at LSU. So LSU the favorite for Trendon Watford, but we'll find out for sure Monday, May 20th, when he makes his decision at his high school in a public signing. Also, after a big performance for Mean Streets, which is a EYBL team that is primarily based in the Chicago area. They've got some guys from, at times over the years, Indiana and other places, but they're primarily a Chicago-based team. That's the hub that they are out of. After a big performance in Indianapolis by DJ Stewart, IU offered him a scholarship. He's a member of the class of 2020. He's a guard. He's 6'3", 170 pounds. He plays for a very noted high school within Chicago, Whitney Young High School. They've produced all sorts of really, really good players. He's got a number of schools recruiting him, a number of schools that have offered him scholarships, anywhere from mid-major schools to Big Ten schools like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan State also involved with him as well, and Louisville also. So a number of schools involved with him and really has been, not just this past weekend in Indianapolis, which I guess was session two of the EYBL, but really so far this spring, there have been lots of good reports about him and his dominant play. So Indiana jumping in with not only some interest, which they had been in contact, but some a scholarship offer now for him also. I found this interesting. Paul Biancardi of ESPN, who many years ago I got to know when he was the coach at Wright State and eventually got out of coaching, got into the recruiting side of things. When ESPN got into the recruiting, when it kind of blew up on a national level, is something that fans really, really cared about and tracked year-round. He went to work for ESPN.com, so you see him on ESPN during TV of the high school games. He's kind of their resident expert that makes comments and opinions on decisions after college commitments and things are made. He tweeted this out yesterday. I didn't see it. It was during our show, and I know we talked a lot about John Beilein leaving for the NBA yesterday and how, to me, disappointing it was for the Big Ten Conference and obviously for Michigan, but more so for the college game. And, you know, I wondered, do any of the problems today in college basketball, the cheating that goes on, the embarrassment of the FBI investigation, these new NBA draft rules that make it really hard to have confidence in your roster for next season, and you never know when to recruit or not to recruit, but you also want to be loyal to your guys if they come back, and obviously you want guys that played under you to go on and have great success, even if it means leaving your program early for the NBA. But Paul Biancardi tweeted this out yesterday. He had had coffee with John Beilein in Atlanta during the live period, which I guess the EYBL was where they would have been a few weeks ago. Here's what he said, quote, he loved Michigan, talking about Beilein, quote, he loved Michigan, but was frustrated with the new NBA draft rules. Roster continuity was an issue with his good players. The FBI situation also had him questioning much about the college game, end quote. And again, that was a tweet from Paul Biancardi, who I'm sure has known John Beilein and lots of these head coaches and others in the game for many, many years. But I wondered that yesterday. I wonder that about a lot of coaches that are trying to do things that are perceived at least to be doing things the right way. Even if they're finding success on the level that Beilein was or wasn't, at what point does some of this stuff turn off somebody that says, hey, I love the game, love coaching the game, love being around the game, but you know, the cheating and the uncertainty that has been created with NBA roster, NBA draft changes associated around that, at what point does it all become too much to try to keep up with? And at what point is it maybe something where you want to get to the NBA where you just have to coach basketball? Obviously, the NBA offers its own troubles, I'm sure, as well, managing personalities and superstars and other things like that. But just an interesting thought, interesting information, little inside information there that Paul Biancardi shared on his Twitter account. Also, one quick note before we wrap up this segment, Jeffersonville product gave Gabe Bierman, a pitcher now for IU baseball, has been named Big Ten Freshman of the Week. He struck out 8 of 9 batters that he faced during a 3-inning performance Friday at Michigan. He was credited with the save. He's now 3-0, has a 3.75 ERA, and he had his first save of his college career in that big win over Big Ten leading Michigan, which got the series off to a great start. Indiana obviously won the weekend series, 2 wins, 1 loss. He also, and I'm reading this from the News and Tribune, Bierman is Jeffersonville's single season and single game strikeout record holder. He had 15 strikeouts in a single game. And I think somebody told me he's scheduled to get to start tonight against Louisville. It's a 7 o'clock p.m. game. IU hosts Louisville in Bloomington tonight. So that will be a fun one to follow as well. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk John Beilein to the NBA. We'll talk the NBA draft and Romeo Langford, the combine this week, and a lot more coming up right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on Tuesday. That means the opportunity to chat with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. This segment is always presented by Coffee Crossing. You can brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-through. Greg, great to have you with us today. Always great to catch up. It's NBA Draft Combine Week, which means that whether Romeo is actually out on the floor in Chicago or not, participating in any of the scrimmage games or any of the agility and skills-oriented stuff, that we definitely expect him to be there to go through some interviews and opportunities to talk with NBA personnel, with his agent. And maybe after this week and this weekend, we'll find a little bit more about a solid home for where he could be drafted, what range and what teams potentially he could go to here in a couple weeks. Well, in a couple months, really, I guess.
Yeah, this is a big one for him. They're going to measure him, and they're going to love how he measures. They're going to love his height, his weight, his wingspan. They're going to love all those numbers that they see. And they're going to love how nice he is, and they're going to love that. They're going to see how coachable he is and all that. As I've addressed before, they're going to want to talk to him about, being more assertive. Can you do that at the NBA? We didn't see you do it at IU. Will you do it for us? And so this will be a big chance for him to talk. I mean, talking sometimes is equally important as playing. They got to know who you are. One team that I know, at least I've been told by competing NBA teams, that likes Romeo is the Rockets. They're big into analytics, and they think he's got upside as a perimeter shooter and all that. So I just keep that in the back of your head that if he's, the Rockets, I'm not sure where they're picking, but if they're picking where they would pick where they face, they'll be in the mid-late 20s, so I don't think Romeo will be there. But just keep that in mind if something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I know we've talked some about this and other guests on the program last week as well. It was brought up as well. But I think for the casual fan, and especially before a lot of this stuff was televised and covered widely like it is now, but for the casual fan that follows the NBA or follows a certain fan or a player from their hometown through a draft, I think when you hear combine and you see that there's a court and there's games going on and they're highlighting players and what they did in their high school and college careers, you think, okay, an opportunity to get out on the court and perform and show what you can do with all these NBA guys, coaches, and other personnel sitting around. But as I've read more and more about it in recent years, and of course really kind of getting into it for this week to see exactly what Romeo will be able to do and not do, it's to me every bit as important to be there if you're invited, whether you participate on the court or not. Those interviews, those sit-downs, whether it's one-on-one or whatever it may be, that just seems to be a real opportunity to kind of find your way and make some progress, get to know each other, which is such a big part about who you draft, I guess who you hire in any job. And it's kind of like a job interview. And, yeah, if you participate in the on-the-court stuff, if you're healthy or if you want to or if you don't want to, that's fine too. But this is an opportunity for us face-to-face to really get together and get to know each other. And I think that, as you already said, bodes really well for Romeo with how he handles himself, his body language, and his ability to communicate with people, which I think goes back to all the media interviews and all the things that he had to do in this star-studded high school career where he was the standout and the attraction everywhere he went.
NBA scouts know what these guys have as far as games. And you can open a few eyes, I guess, on the court if you do something or show something that maybe you've been working on. But for the most part, yeah, it is the interview process, and that has changed. years ago, and I mean a lot of years ago before the money took off, it really didn't matter what your personality was because there was only one boss on the team, and it wasn't you. It was the coach. And so if you were prickly, if you were this, you were going to fall in the line because everybody did or they didn't play in the NBA. But now, you know, we see at the highest levels for sure, we see players getting coaches fired. And we see, you know, the most important player on a team is, I'm sorry, the most important person in a franchise is the star, and sometimes it's your second and third best player too. Because you can always go find another coach, but you can't find another guy like, I don't know, Klay Thompson, just to name a guy who's not your best player but pretty important. That's a bad example. Steve Kerr's a pretty important guy going to stay. But the point remains is the players are so important now, and they get people fired. And also, chemistry. Teams are learning the value of chemistry. I mean, they've always known it, but the Pacers have opened some eyes around the league, how they've won, or at least how they've competed at a pretty good level with just Oladipo as a star, and then with Oladipo even being out. Teams, they want to know, will you play nice with others? Because just like there's always another coach you can find to coach your team, there's another talent you can find. If that guy's a jerk, we'll go find somebody else. And Romeo's, I mean, they're going to love that part of Romeo. They're going to absolutely love it. And there are, I'm sure there are players that they will be equally impressed by. I mean, I guess. But I can't imagine they're going to be more impressed with a guy's kindness than with Romeo.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. My guest, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to talk a little college basketball coaching stuff here for just a couple minutes. John Beilein leaves Michigan. When I first saw it, really, really surprised. I'm still very disappointed for the Big Ten and for the college game as a whole because from what we know about coaches, and I guess we kind of have to preface comments, positives with that nowadays based on everything that has went on and apparently goes on in college basketball. He seems to be a guy that does it the right way, recruits the right way, has a system. He's a great presence on the floor, not just for his team, but for the game as well. Handles himself well with the media. Just a very, to me, looking from the outside in, a very, very impressive guy. You hate to see someone like that leave a sport that you're passionate about. I know you and I and many others both very passionate about college basketball, and I believe that's the best brand of basketball out there going. But were you surprised to see him leave? I was at first, and then it makes more sense as you start to think about it. Paul Biancardi, I read his tweet on the air earlier today. He had, I guess, had coffee with him down in Atlanta during the live period. He said that Coach Beilein was kind of talking about the struggles of the new NBA draft and the rosters, requirements where players can come back and you really don't know what you have, and also questioning the game with the FBI scandal and things going on, which kind of makes sense. But what was your take on it? Were you surprised? And I thought maybe that trend of college guys leaving for the NBA was slowing down or over, but maybe it's not.
I was surprised. I'm surprised at his age. I mean, that a guy at 66, A, that he wants to do that, because that's a grind. I mean, not that college basketball is easy, but that NBA life, that's a grind. I'm surprised he wants to do that, but I'm also surprised that an NBA team wants a guy at 66 to try that. Then again, when you're Cleveland, you're at the rock bottom, you got nothing. I mean, you really have nothing to lose. So I guess I get it from that perspective. Where I'm not surprised any is that Beilein, I mean, he's a nice guy, and we all like how he behaves himself and comports himself and all that, but he's not touchy-feely with the players. He's not a, and I know this, I've talked to several of his former players about him, that he's not the kind of guy who, he's in coaching for the relationships with the kids. He's in coaching because he's a basketball savant, and we see that the way they run their offense. So I'm not surprised at that level that he wants to go where the basketball at the highest level is played, and does his stuff work at that level, because he's not touchy-feely. He's not about the kids. He's not going to break his heart to leave 19-year-olds. And I'm not saying he doesn't like them. I'm just saying he's not doing it for them. He's doing it for him, and which is fine, and he'll go to the NBA now and do it for him there.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, another coaching move that I think is worth mentioning again. I quickly mentioned it last week in our headline segment to begin the show, but Greg Gary left Purdue as the associate head coach to take over a Mercer program that really needs a turnaround. And I know he's hard at work and trying to recruit some Indiana guys as we speak to get that mission underway. So a vacancy, you know, at Indiana's rival, and I know we have a lot of IU fans that listen to this show, for a position as important as an associate head coach, and also for to replace a guy like Greg Gary, who, you know, if you know Greg and you know the Purdue makeup, you know, he was very, very key in some of the things that went on in that program. So you think it's getting late. Who could Purdue hire? Will they bump up one of their current assistants? What will they do? And I think Matt Painter hit a home run with Micah Shrewsbury, getting him to come back from the NBA and the Boston Celtics to be associate head coach. It probably is a good fit not only for Purdue but for Micah as well, with maybe opening up a easier or clearer path for him to his own job, like Coach Gary moving on to Mercer. I could see that happening at a similar program here over the next few years as well. But I think it's an absolute home run hire, and he's obviously a name that is somewhat local to us here. He spent some of his childhood, a number of years of his childhood, and I believe still has some family here in the Jeffersonville, New Albany area, but spent some time here as a well-known guy down here, has still made some trips back here and has been kind enough to join us from time to time on the program. But you know the Purdue makeup. You know Coach Painter. You're at a lot of the games, and you also know Brad Stevens and have been to Boston here recently. Don't you agree? Just an unbelievable fill for Purdue at that associate head coaching spot.
Home run. That was a home run for that job. And the Purdue staff is really going to be interesting next year with Micah, but also former Purdue player 2 years ago, P.J. Thompson, played in Denmark and did well, but he's coming back as a grad assistant. And I feel like, and I'm just drawing a blank, I've been trying to remember the whole time and I can't do it, there's another former Boilermaker that's joining the team this year as a grad assistant, I think. So anyway, that staff that was already good got really interesting. Shrewsbury, yes, two things about that. One is he's looking for his fastest route to be a head coach in college, has to be, and he's decided that after 6 years in Boston and it didn't work out there, then let's go try it at Purdue. I mean, that's my guess, and also maybe he just loves the college game at the assistant level. But second, Micah Shrewsbury by himself, I don't think, is going to win a recruit, or his background is going to win a recruit. But these things are more complicated than any one factor, unless that one factor is Coach K, and then if he wants you, you're going to go. But otherwise, these things are very complicated, and there's a lot of factors. And adding Micah Shrewsbury to the mix on some of these guys will help them a whole lot, because he's got the NBA factor, and he's got the Brad Stevens factor. That won't make or break Purdue for most guys, but that's going to be one more thing in the plus column, and not that Greg Gary was in the negative column at all, but he didn't have the NBA thing, and Micah does.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, I just last week, or at least within the last couple of weeks, Rick Bozich of WDRB had a column on the station's website that talked about Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens and some of the things that we talked about after your Boston trip. You know, would they ever come back to college basketball? And I know some people have said, oh, Billy Donovan would be a great fit at Michigan. Well, we'll see if that picks up any traction. It didn't when that came up with Indiana. But, you know, they've struggled a little bit now in their respective NBA situations, and will they come back? So my mindset was kind of quietly cheering. Gosh, I hope both of those guys at some point come back to the college game. I really don't even care where it is. I just want to get them back in. I like both of them, and I think they're both great for the game. I hated that they left, and then you kind of got that working from one angle where maybe they'll come back. Then, of course, we just talked about Coach Beilein going to the NBA. So we got Shrewsbury back to the college game, still working on some of those head coaches. But it will be interesting, I think, to see kind of on another note what does happen with Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan as they kind of approach their first rough off seasons, maybe with a lack of accomplishment and some people buzzing about the jobs that they did or didn't do. So that's going to be interesting too, talking about some of that stuff.
Those guys will definitely come back to college. Billy will. And maybe he's going to ride out the Thunder as long as Russell's there. But you have to believe that at some point the Thunder, they're going to have a reset. You know, Russell Westbrook is going to get older and retire, I mean, down the road. And at that point, they'll probably start the whole thing over. That assumes Donovan's still there that long. It wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow he's the coach at Michigan. The thing about Michigan is that a lot of people don't get this or don't know this, but I'm guessing a lot of people in this state do, because this is a whole different – we get it in this state. But Michigan has always been described to me, and I covered college basketball for 20 years, always been described to me as one of the best handful, and I mean small handful, like five or six jobs in the country. Now, is it one of the best five or six basketball programs in the country? No, you know, Kentucky, Louisville, Duke, Indiana, North Carolina, there's Kansas, there's, it's not one of those. But as far as absolute jobs, like where do you want to work? Where will they pay you? Where will you get a lot of attention for basketball, but the pressure's on football, which is, in most coaches' eyes, a good thing. Where can you recruit? Where are the facilities going to be top-notch because they got all the money in the world? Michigan, 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 Michigan. People love that job, and it was for years, I was told, and I'm sure the same thing exists now. It is considered, and I'm not saying I consider it because how would I know, but coaches consider it the best job in the Big Ten. And when you're the best job in your league, that's a job everybody wants. So who they hire is going to be really interesting because it's a hard time of year. You know, I saw LaValle Jordan's name come up. He, of course, he's a Butler, and he's a former Michigan assistant. And we wrote about it in the paper today, but, I mean, I like LaValle, but he hasn't done anything on his resume that says you're the guy. I mean, because Michigan, they're going to swing harder than that. And the question is, can you get your ace college coach to leave his program? Beeline did it for the NBA, but will a college coach leave where you are from Michigan now? It's a really hard time to leave your team in the lurch, which means the NBA makes a lot of sense. I mean, they got to convince someone to come, but Billy Donovan makes a lot of sense for a whole lot of reasons at Michigan.
Yeah, could be very, very interesting to follow, no question about it. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, before we let you go, I always, even if it's not something that we have a reason to bring up or we talk a lot about on the program, I'm always curious about some of your columns, and I know you've got a very interesting one that I saw and read earlier today about a former Miss Basketball from the state of Indiana that is had a crazy life, to say the least. I'll let you give us a little preview. Bria Goss is her name, and you can find it at indystar.com/sports.
But not the Mother's Day column, huh?
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I liked it, so I would read it later. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, Bria, yeah, she was Miss Basketball Ben Davis at 2011, and Ben Davis is like 9 miles from Baker's Life Fieldhouse. But to go those 9 miles, she went all over the world and actually had cancer in her uterus. They took out, she had a mass hysterectomy. They took everything out. She beat that, and she's back in the States and competing for the Fever. It's going to be really hard for her to make the team. She's one of 15 finalists for 12 spots. She was on the outside looking in, but she's still here. But former Miss Basketball, won back-to-back state titles at Ben Davis. Great, great player with a great story. There's so many interesting things, but to me the most interesting thing about her unique story is that the last time she was at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the last several times before these tryouts, she was working games as a bartender.
Wow.
You know, over in Finland and Israel, they don't pay. Israel pays better, but Finland doesn't pay anything. And she wasn't making much money. So their seasons are different from the NBA, mostly overseas. So her season would end. She'd come back here. The NBA is going on. The Pacers are going on. Maybe and she'd work at Bankers Life as a bartender. She went to bartending school and was selling drinks and making drinks at Bankers Life. And now she's on the court trying to make the team. It'd be a really good underdog story, and it really is. But she was Miss Basketball, and she was at Kentucky. So this isn't just like, what's that movie, that guy Morris, the baseball player, tries out for the Devil Rays after being a high school coach. I mean, it's not that much of an underdog story, but still it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thank you, as always, for the great chat and for carving some time out with us on Tuesdays. And you know we'll do it again next week.
Always, Matt. Thank you. I hope so. Bye.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And again, now open. It opened in March, mid-March, the fourth Coffee Crossing location. You can watch for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. So make sure you stop by and check out the new location if you're a fan of Coffee Crossing. I know a lot of you are. This is one of their really cool stores. So congratulations to Alan and the staff for getting this one open, and make sure you check it out. We'll head to a commercial break. Hey, before I do that, I do want to mention this as well. I've had a couple people say, what exactly is the combine? Some of the things you talk about that are going to go on. We know there are some games that are played, and we know some of it's televised, but what exactly is it? According to what I'm reading here, or what I pulled up here talking with Greg, the athletic test at the NBA combine include a standing vertical jump, a maximum vertical jump, bench press, three-quarter court sprint time, lane agility time, and modified event time, which I have no idea what that is. Physical measurements at the NBA Combine in Chicago this week will include height with shoes, height without shoes, wingspan, weight, standing reach, body fat, hand length, that's interesting, and hand width, hand length and hand width. The shooting test typically include a spot-up three-point field goals from various distances, and it says high school, college, and NBA, depending upon position, shooting off the dribble and timed jump shots on the move. And again, this is a big gathering of some of the top players. I do want to note there is an international combine for the top players that take place. I think they call it a Euro camp. It takes place following the combine, maybe a week or two after it concludes. So you'll see primarily, I think, American-born players and American college players that come from colleges, whether they graduate or are underclassmen, in the event that comes this weekend. So busy week, a lot of stuff going on. G League Combine, which unfortunately Juwan Morgan did not get a spot in. I was really pulling for him to get a spot there to play in front of those guys, and maybe he could definitely earn a spot on a G League roster for sure. I still think there's a great possibility of that at minimum, but was hoping he would get in the G League Combine. You've got that gets going in Chicago here in a few days. That's followed by the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago. There's some youth stuff as well they do later in the week. So a busy week of basketball things in Chicago, and we'll see what comes out of it with Romeo Langford and his agent and everybody on the scene, I'm sure, at the Quest Multisport Center there in Chicago. Also, a reminder tonight, if you're following this IU baseball team, if you're getting more and more enthused about them, as I am, with some of their recent success, including a 10-4 and a 10-8 win on Friday and Saturday over number 19 Michigan and Big Ten leading Michigan. And, of course, IU lost the Sunday game, but just by one run, 6-5 was the final score there. If you're getting enthused and excited about this IU baseball team and what they could do, Louisville tonight, they play Louisville in Bloomington at home, a 7 o'clock first pitch. That would be a good one to go to if you can get up there. And after the Louisville game coming up later this week, you've got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series at home with Rutgers, Thursday, Friday, and then Senior Day on Saturday, a midday game. And that's it. And then IU is off to the Big Ten Tournament, which begins next Wednesday in Omaha, Nebraska, and runs through Sunday. And then after that, we'll know more about IU and their postseason chances. But I would sure think that they have an opportunity, at least, to continue on playing once the regular season comes to a close. And I don't have this confirmed, but I've been told or have heard Gabe Bierman will pitch tonight for IU. I'll try to see if I can confirm that here between now and when we come back with Mike Pegram. Stay with us. Mike Pegram is next. He's going to talk recruiting. What is Indiana going to do in the 2019 class with two scholarship offers? It's a question we've been asking people for a while. But as IU gets turned down by some of these remaining 2019 prospects, it's kind of a question that has gained a little more urgency. So we'll start with that. We'll talk some other recruiting news with Mike Pegram and other stuff as well. So stay with us. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is coming up next as we close the Tuesday program after this right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. And again, a lot of the topics and players and recruiting things we talk about, you can read more with Mike and his team at the Pegs.com website if you are a subscriber. I think we have to start, Mike, with a topic, a question that I probably have asked you and a number of other guests multiple times that have come on this program. But as each player, each potential recruit in the 2019 class spurns Indiana for someone else, and it looks like we're down to basically Trendon Watford, who is a big favorite, I think, for LSU, what is Indiana going to do with the 2019 recruiting class? With two scholarships open, it's not unheard of to pocket a scholarship and use it in a future year, but I tell you what, to pocket two would be a little tough, I would think, and in the graduate transfer route. You've done a great job explaining how that, especially at a school like Indiana, is not really the easiest path for the program to get a player in one of those graduate spots for multiple reasons. As we sit here in the middle of May, any thoughts, any guesses, any paths potentially that Indiana could go down to fill one or both of these scholarships at this late date?
Well, I think facing the real possibility that they won't use those two scholarships, but I definitely leave it open that there's a clear chance that if somebody comes available that is a really good player that kind of fits their need, maybe a guard that can handle or shoot and exceptionally well in one of those two areas of the game, I think they would be very much open to that if the kid is, if that young man is open to Indiana. But right now, nothing has really, grown into a serious possibility for that last scholarship. I mean, Trenton Watford, if he was going to pick Indiana, he probably would have come up for a visit, recent visit I'm talking about. And so unless that happens, we probably kind of expect him to choose LSU or another school down south.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, is our guest. It seemed like Indiana, I think they did pick up momentum with him, but it was kind of about the time that the Will Wade news broke that he was maybe in potential trouble with his job. He stepped away from his job. But that sure seems to have quieted down, and as that's quieted down, the uptick with Trenton Watford to IU and that discussion has kind of went away as well.
Well, I had heard for a while that he would like to create his own path, and that path that he was kind of looking towards got a little bit iffy. And so they may have, thought that a known commodity like Indiana was good to maybe make sure that they had that, option. Maybe it was considered a backup, I don't know, but they wanted to make sure they had that option. So things did heat up for a bit, and you never know. But right now, without them coming up here and seeing how Trenton mixes with the players he would be around, I don't see that as a strong possibility.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. The circuit, as far as not 2019 kids, but underclassmen, continued on this weekend in Indianapolis with the Nike EYBL session, which was actually played right here in the state. So great competition, lots of great talent. Some of the guys that you and I and Jeff have already been talking about here on the program when you join us, just no college coaches in the stands. There were fans, there were parents, there were others, recruiting services, Pigs.com media members, but no Division I college coaches, at least in the gyms over the weekend at the Nike EYBL. But there were a couple players that really stood out. Some of them continued to stand out from the last session as well, and at least one new scholarship offer that we know of coming out of the weekend.
Yeah, a new scholarship offer was DJ Stewart, a Chicago area player who had a terrific weekend, including a 46-point game on Sunday. He's a skinny 6'3", 6'4", guard who just is super quick with the ball and can get hot from outside as well. And he had some really big games besides his 46-pointer, and therefore Indiana was probably watching on the streaming. You can stream these games on your on a computer now, watch them through various methods, and for a coach that, they can't be there live, but they probably saw that 46-point game and maybe that pushed them over the top, but I think they had been showing interest before and liked him and had picked up calling him before this weekend, and that big game just made it, obvious that he had to be offered because he's talented and they need guards, and but he wasn't the only guard that played really well there that Indiana's involved with. And I thought that was, from a Hoosier perspective, Hoosier team building, it was encouraging to see that several guards that they have been involved with played well in Indianapolis this weekend.
Mike, I think one of the good things, and it was this way last year, and I would say most years, but it seemed like really last year it was fun to follow the main Indiana elite team on the Adidas circuit for seniors, which would include Leal and Galloway, even has Trey Coleman on it, Christian Lander as well playing up on that team, and then the Indy Heat team, the 17 and under team, it's a Nike team, the EYBL team from Indiana. between those two teams, they've got about everybody that you could want to focus on for high school basketball for next season, within reason, from an IU perspective. It's got offers or potential interest or maybe could develop into a prospect that Indiana follows. So it's nice to see that not only is Indiana in these circuits well represented, which I think we've come to expect with basketball being such a mainstay in our state and given the number of players, Division I guys that the state produces every year, regardless where they may end up going to college in the summer, Indiana gets a really good name thanks to that Indiana Elite and Indy Heat programs that are out there. And once again, as we get into off-season basketball and July recruiting stuff, I know it won't be as predominant. The coaches won't be there as much because of rule changes. But, gosh, those teams are good once again this year and able to play with the very best in the country.
Yeah, overachieving Indiana club teams are pretty much the norm most years. The Indy Heat team is 6-2 on the UIBL. The Indiana Elite team just won the running slam in Fort Wayne. And this 2020 class, which is the bulk of the players, is considered a down class in the state, as you well know. So it just shows the quality of player, the quality of coaching that you get when you're a high school player in Indiana.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com, what's next from a recruiting perspective for Archie Miller and the staff? I think the only spring evaluation period, that obviously has ended. The opportunity for colleges to get out, visit players, and have them on campus, I think, is either over or in soon. You might have to correct me on that. And then in June, we know that the college coaches will be able to get out a little bit, which is new this year, and watch some of the high school stuff, and we'll see how that goes. But also, IU has team camp, and I think instead of just doing one weekend, they've actually got multiple weekends, or at least multiple days spread over a few weekends this year when they're going to have a lot of teams on campus. And, of course, any high school team that wants to go, they can sign up, but you can bet for sure that the IU coaches are coordinating with teams in the state and beyond that have prospects or potential prospects. It's a great opportunity to get them even on the Assembly Hall floor for them to play games that's kind of unique. So that will be a big piece as well coming up. But what else, what's next for the IU staff with recruiting?
Well, for the players, it's a big Memorial Day tournament, UIBL and Adidas and so forth. But I would say the first significant thing is a mid-June Top 100 camp at University of Virginia. Coaches can go for the first time, and we're all like, what's that mean, you know? It's hard to say who all will be there from the player perspective, because around that time you also have a lot of USA team things out in Colorado that takes away some of the nation's best players trying to, you know, compete in international events for Team USA. And those are often watched by the coaches and should be again. And then, you, like you said, the team camp stuff, which generally is late June, but things really kick off recruiting-wise around the mid-June area. That'll be a really busy time. Players will be coming in, and you have and then early June, just not from a recruiting perspective, but from a watching perspective, you get the junior-senior games and all that stuff with Kentucky and the All-Star game. So June is going to be the most interesting month in a while. Our month, June is different this year. Let me just put it that way, because of the rule changes and all that's going on.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. Mike is always with us on Tuesdays. Little baseball chat before we call it a day. IU had a huge series win over the weekend at Michigan, who's leading the Big Ten Conference, and now they have a midweek game before their final Big Ten series of the regular season against Rutgers coming up later this week. And this game tucked right in the middle of these two Big Ten series is against Louisville, which is always kind of a fun way, a late season game, a one-and-done type matchup that you see once a year. This year it's in Bloomington, and it should be a lot of fun tonight. By the way, I mentioned earlier that I thought Gabe Bierman was pitching. Yes, he is pitching per IU Baseball in a tweet that they've put out, and also thanks to a couple listeners reminding me the game is on ESPNU tonight if you're not going to Bloomington. But Mike, should be a great one and a good test for this team as they gear up for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, they actually, Matt, might be playing for the winner has a real good chance to host the regional, and it's especially important for Indiana as the lower ranked team of these two. I think Louisville's around 7, Indiana's 21. But a win over a number seven ranked team could put Indiana in line for, one of those 16 regional host opportunities for the NCAA tournament. And that would be huge to host that at the, Bart Kaufman Field and all that. So that's what we'll be looking for, see if that really catapults them in. And they have a home series with the Rutgers over the weekend, and it's a team that they should be able to beat in the series. So great opportunity for Indiana tonight and this weekend.
All right, Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, always with us Tuesdays. Mike, thanks for being with us. Enjoy. I think you're going to the game tonight, aren't you? If so, enjoy it.
We're covering the baseball. We're going to cover maybe all four of the next games now that we have some time away from the basketball recruiting-related stuff.
Absolutely. So you can check that out at Pegs.com. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right, man. Take care.
That will wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. Thanks so much for being with us. Wednesday, Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com is scheduled to be with us. Also on Wednesday, Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's in studio to go through some Southern Indiana sports headlines as well. A couple questions about when are we doing baseball. We've got sectional baseball coming up here very soon. I think a week and a half or so away from that. And we will start at the 4A sectional, which is going to be at Bedford. So good for the listener if you can't make the long trip, but maybe would have made it had it been at one of the local schools. You can tune us in for the scores and the pitch-by-pitch coverage. We'll have every game that Floyd Central, New Albany, and Jeffersonville play in that sectional. And depending on how things work out with Silver Creek and Providence, if they were to match up there in the sectional final in 3A, we're going to find a way to get some highlights and some updates, or maybe even the play-by-play from that game on as well. So a lot of things coming your way from that perspective. That's going to do it for this show today. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 o'clock. I'll be back with you Thursday as well. And then I'm headed to Chicago for some basketball stuff later in the week, and Lee Kelly will be with you on Friday's show to close out the week. Don't forget, you can find a podcast of our program at Apple Podcast. Just search the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a good rating and a nice review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in the program. You can also find us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.